focus on I've Colossians 4, and I was going to read the chapter of Colossians 4, if you'd like to get your Bible out or on your phone. You've got, or whatever, it's the best. So I'm going to read it. I'm not really organised, so I should get it out of there too. So I'm going to start in verse 2, because verse 1 is connected to chapter 3. So I'm going to read from the Passion. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, keep praying for us as well, that God may open up a door for the message to proclaim the mystery of the Messiah, for which I'm in prison. Pray that I may make the mystery clear as I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, to know how you ought to answer everyone. Further instructions and greetings. Tychicus, a dearly loved brother and trustworthy servant and fellow slave to the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I sent him to you for this very purpose, so you may know about us and he may encourage your hearts. With him I sent Onesimus, a faithful dear brother who is one of your own. They will tell you about everything here. And my fellow prisoner, Tarsicus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You received instructions about him. If he comes your way, welcome him. Yeshua, who is called Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God that are from among the circumcision. They have been comforted, a comfort to me. And Epaphras, who is one of your own, a slave of Messiah Yeshua, greets you. He's always laboring in prayer on your behalf, so you may stand complete and fully assured about everything that's God's will. For I testify that he has gone to much trouble for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the dearly loved physician, sends you greetings, and so does Demas. Greetings, the brothers and sisters in Laodicea, as well as Nymphia and the community that meets in her house. When this letter has been read among you, make sure that it is also read in Messiah's community of Laodicea. In turn, you should read my letter coming from Laodicea. Tell Apicius to send it, to see it to it that you complete the service you have received in the Lord and that you may fulfill it. This greeting is in my own hand. Paul's, remember my chains. Grace be with you. So that's Colossians 4. Now, the key verse I'm going to focus on today is verse 2. Verse 2 to 6. So, a life of prayer. In the Passion, it says, be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks to God. The NIV Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, alert, with thanksgiving, and being thankful. When I was a small child, my sister told me to say my prayers. She taught me to say my prayers on my knees before I went to bed. It was a part of the Anglican culture, whatever. It was a part of just what we did. And also she taught me to say grace after my meals. So she's my big sister. And then when I was taught the Lord's Prayer when I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at 14, and you kind of did a six-week training to be a Christian, and I was given a prayer book, and basically you had to know it by parrot fashion, as in memory, the Lord's Prayer. So we were given this program to know how to be a Christian, basically. And it was based on Matthew 6:9, and I didn't realise it was in the Bible until later, because, you know, we just followed, you know, the regulations of what you do, the structure. And when I was 19, I had a friend who was in a very bad car accident. He was in a car that rolled four times down a ditch. The driver, his friend, just had broken his arm. So he was in a coma for months. He was in hospital where I was working at the time at Prince of Wales Hospital. And I felt this burden on my heart to pray for him to be better. So I visited the ICU place in the ward, and I prayed for him before I started work, at lunchtime, before I left. I was continually praying for him and giving him to the Lord. Because his parents were overseas at the time, and his brother was a JW, a Jehovah Witness, who didn't believe in blood transfusions. And I was a bit concerned that, you know, anyway, but I gave it to Jesus. I didn't really know because, and then one day, someone mentioned ice cream and he came out of the coma. So ice cream, yeah, God knows his heart, see. Anyway, so then God broke through, he woke up and he started his rehabilitation. God was faithful, and I didn't really know in my heart that I carried a burden to pray for him. I had faith like a child. As I reflect, the Lord heard my prayer. Glory to God. I don't know where he is today, but I know God answered my prayers in that season. And also, I've already told you about my experience when I became a spirit-filled, baptized in water. And the Holy Spirit kept waking me up in the middle of the night to pray for people. And God would put people on my heart to pray. And I thought it was the devil coming back. So I was really scared because I didn't know. So this lady came along to church and she explained to me that was intercession. I think I've explained that before. So she told me to get a pen out and write down what God was saying to you and what scriptures. And I'm like, why would he want to talk to me? Like, but he does. He wants a relationship with you. Oh, okay then. So God brought this woman into the church to help, you know, with my walk, as he does. Then at the time, our pastor, Don Herbert, in the 90s, he was extremely unwell. So we, the church, had a time to pray for him on a prayer chain, but the Lord called him home. He died at 52, I think. Yeah. But Colossians 4 is talking about being thankful. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, he says, be joyful always, in prayer continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be thankful in the little things. We are blessed to be in Australia, to live. Can you think of things to thank God? Can you tell me, is there anything on your heart right now that you can thank God for? Beautiful day. The body of Christ. Provisions. Family. Yep. The air we breathe. Yeah. So when I've experienced the joy of the Lord after praying in his presence and spending time with him, I experience his joy. I experience his peace. And I love to worship him in prayer and worship. I love to sing my heart to the Lord like prayers. That's how I worship God. So it's important to worship and pray and worship with the word, whatever, creativity, painting, singing, dancing, whatever the Lord's given you gifts, writing poetry, just spend time with him. He wants to spend time with us. So be thankful that he's given these our gifts. So also in Colossians, it talks to be watchful. In 1 Peter 5:8, It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Being a Christian isn't easy, but the devil hates us. That's why he wants to destroy us. But Jesus has the victory and he loves us. So we have to renew our minds to Christ on the word and pull down every lie that the enemy tries to tell us who we are and we're not. We are Christ. We belong to Jesus. We need to pray for each other so we won't be deceived and we won't be tempted. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, Paul writes and tells us about spiritual warfare, putting on God's complete set of armour provided for us. So you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. He also talks about praying passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray blessings of God for all you believers. In verse 3 in Colossians of chapter 4, Paul asks us to pray for him so that God would open a door of opportunity for us to preach the revelation of the mystery of Christ, for whose sake I'm imprisoned. The mystery of Christ and redemption. In Ephesians 1:9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. In Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. Paul asked the Christians to pray for him. He had requests, just like the others in the Bible had requests of prayer. And there's some examples I've got here. 1 Samuel 7:8. 12:19, Acts 8:24, Romans 15:30, Ephesians 6:19, Hebrews 13:18. Pray that he may proclaim. Paul prayed that he may proclaim and clearly, as he should, so he would preach the gospel in season, what God was saying, and to reach the people. That was his mission. So I've got some other scriptures about when Paul is in prison and all the scriptures that he reflected on. And spiritually speaking, confessing Christ's given to an aid in the scriptures. I've got more scriptures here if you want. I've got them here if you want to come and see me later. So let's look at Paul's mission. How on earth did he get into prison? Well, it goes back into Acts 21. So feelings ran high when it was thought that Paul had taken a non-Jew into the temple, that he was mobbed. Remarkably, this Greek inscription from the Herod's temple was found by archaeologists, and it says it forbids non-Jews to enter the inner courts of the temple, but on pain of death. So that's why they were absolutely going crazy, because he took a Gentile into the temple. In Acts 22, Paul asked if he could speak to the crowd at the top of the steps of the temple in Aramaic. When he heard him speak, they listened to him until he said verse 21. And in verse 21 it says, the Lord said to me, go and I'll send you far away to the Gentiles. But the mention of his mission to the Gentiles created another riot. He was taken to be questioned under torture. He was put in chains in prison. So they all went crazy again. But at the top of the steps, he was telling his testimony because he took every opportunity to share the message. Just as well Paul wrote the letters in prisons, we wouldn't have a Colossians and the epistles today. So thank God for Paul's letters to encourage us. As I'm reflecting on Paul in prison, I think of the persecuted church, all those Christians being tortured in prison for their belief in Jesus. Their churches are burnt and they're persecuted for their faith. Us Christians in this Western world here, we don't realise what they're going through. But I receive a letter updating what's happening around the world and to pray for them. Like years ago, we used to have the directors of the persecuted church come here, and we were really involved in knowing what was happening and doing mails and everything. But it just reflects on how important we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, and don't forget them, because they're being persecuted, but they're happy, they're joyful for persecution, you know. One day I met a lady who was in Egypt at the time of the riots, and she was just wanted to spread the gospel to the Lord. She was an Egyptian Australian, and she went over, and they had nothing, but they had Jesus, and they were joyful, they were happy. And like, and we look at this Western world and we think, oh, we get persecuted for saying Jesus' name now. And I know it'll come, the persecution will come, because it's written in the Word that we will be challenged in our workplace. I know I am, but we have to spread the gospel in discernment and wisdom, as Paul says in here, as I'm getting to that. In Colossians 4, verse 5, Paul tells us to walk in wisdom as you live before unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. Be discerning while sharing the word. Be careful how you share the gospel. There are certain things that are intimate that God gives. Be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to pray and ask God the keys to share and pray for that person for peace to come. I know everyone here prays. I know you are so faithful in praying for your families, and I know God loves your heart here, and I just want to encourage you to keep praying. Don't give up, because it's about the Lord moving. It's about the Holy Spirit moving. He's the one. We've just got to lay it down and give it to him again and again, and not pick it up, and believe. Believe the promises of God that's written in this word. I'm just going to share your testimony that's very close to my heart. I've shared it probably before in others here, but I felt the Lord wanted me to share it today. It's an example of being obedient in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit and speaking in Kairos timing. My mother had a stroke, and she was in hospital. I went to see her, and I was quietly in the room praying under my breath. I asked the Lord what scripture to speak out and to read out. A small voice spoke to me and said, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And I read, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff comfort me. Well, she sat up and yelled out, that's not true. And I said, then the Lord said to me, she has a spirit of fear in her. She was scared to die at this position, right? I said to her, Mum, God loves you so much. He loves you so much. And then she said, I've been repenting over and over and over every night for God to forgive me for my sins. And I turned and I said to her, I comforted her and I said, Mum, you are forgiven. God loves you. Receive his love. In the word it says, love casts out all fear. God's love casts out all fear. Then I anointed her with the oil I had in my pocket, and I prayed for her and I said goodbye. I said, if I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven. And then I left. I cried all the way home, Peter's like, we'll take the long way home. I said, okay. So I cried all the way home. And then the Lord gave me a scripture. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Psalm 96:2. Because salvation, she had accepted Jesus and she'd reconciled back with him. So the Holy Spirit did the work at that time. The next day I rang my sister. She said, what on earth did you do to Mum? I said, did you pray for her? I said, of course I pray for her. I said to her, why? Tell me why. What happened? Well, after you left, she sat up and had a food that she hadn't eaten for ages and her tablets for the first time. She yelled out, I'm waiting for Jesus. He's coming to take me down the garden path. You know, so glory to God. Then 10 days later, she died at 4:50 a.m. It'll be 10 years on the 6th of April, so it's coming up to 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years. So God is faithful when we pray. Just like Paul's letters, don't give up. Seek God, praying for the lost and encouraging others, being led by the Holy Spirit through prayer and being watchful and thankful. And pray for those who are being persecuted by their faith. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer everyone. So that's my talk, and I just want to encourage you, don't give up and trust in the Lord at this time, and be ready, because Jesus wants us to be ready to share his love with those around us, no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on. I've had a big week because we've had builders come. And they'll pour in concrete and they're worried, oh, it's going to rain. I said, I've prayed and I said, Lord, please, please don't rain till the afternoon. I said to him, my God's big. If he wants to rain, let it rain. But if he can hold those clouds back, let him hold the clouds back. And the guy just went, like that. So that's a builder. And it didn't rain until the afternoon, so praise God, he's faithful. Like, I'm not being manipulating or anything, but, you know, I was trying to witness and say, well, my God's bigger than the rain. He makes the rain, so he can do what he likes, you know. Anyway, so I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each other, the body of Christ, that we need each other to encourage and pray for each other, Lord. We pray for those in our families that really need you, that we pray, Lord, that you help us to be discerning and wise, dealing with our family, friends and work colleagues and anywhere we go, Lord. Lord, please, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and discernment in how we may share you, the love of Christ. Lord, please, Lord, bless these beautiful people here and encourage them. Thank you for your word of encouragement. Thank you, Jesus, for each other. Amen.